and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Thursday, September 3rd.
The markets took a hammering. Everything's down across the board. Bitcoin is down 9.5% to 10,322. Ethereum's down 12.5% to 389. Chainlink is down 20% to 12. Bitcoin Cash getting hammered 17% down to 222. Litecoin down 17% to $48. And finally, Dash taking a major beating down 70% to $68.
And yesterday, UMA overtook Yearn Finance to be the biggest DeFi project with a $1.3 billion market cap. That was according to CoinMarketCap, but it fell today over 22%, going down under $1 billion to $985 million. It's currently second place behind Chainlink.
Yeah, this is a so UMA is an interesting project. They are trying to democratize the multi-quadrillion dollar industry of financial swaps and other sort of exotic financial instruments. So securities, swaps, insurance kind of plays in there. The way they do it is pretty interesting. I don't know if you were listening to us a week ago, we talked about prediction markets. Prediction markets work very similarly. You basically have this mechanism where two people will make a bet on something. And as long as they agree at the end of the day, then the bet settles and the proceeds go one way or the other. What happens though is that if there is a disagreement about the bet, you basically escalate it to someone else. And both sides who disagree about the result of the bet have to stake a bond. And whoever loses, whoever is wrong, based on an arbiter, ends up paying, losing their bond, and the other person ends up taking it. So it's sort of it's quasi-decentralized. There still is this arbiter aspect where you have some amount of centralization or at least some mechanism whereby there's some attack there. But they're basically looking at this and saying, hey, can we do this in general for absolutely anything? So it could be the price of gold. You could create a collateralized asset for the price of gold. You could create for how many chipmunks will be born in the next year. Whatever it is, you can create it on their platform and then put money on it. I think it's pretty surprising how it's taken over some of the things that are a lot more tangible than a lot of the funds are a lot more tangible, but it is definitely in the top 10.
Yeah. And even though that the market was down overall today, there are still 8 DeFi projects that are above 500 million, according to CoinMarketCap.
Yeah.
And certainly UMA is still up there.
Yeah, it's a big market. Thank you to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwaveio.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform.
All right, next. So Binance launched an Ethereum-compatible blockchain in the hopes to pursue some of the DeFi and really stay ahead of the DeFi trend.
Yeah, this is like we talked yesterday about this idea of, is cloning bad for DeFi? If you look at like Hot Dog, all you have to do to start Hot Dog is you go to the GitHub repository for Uniswap, you hit fork, you rename a few things, you check it in, and then you launch it. And then you pay a bunch of money to launch it on the Ethereum network. This is kind of like the more meta level of that. This is the exchange version where they went to the Ethereum, they went to the Ethereum GitHub project, click fork, make it their own. It might even be their own Ethereum blockchain. The goal here is to have a place that they control, that you can deploy, you can kind of reuse smart contracts. So there's this really cool aspect that like once you've written this smart contract for the Ethereum network, any Ethereum network, and there's actually a lot of Ethereum networks. There's not just the primary Ethereum network. There's a lot of private Ethereum networks for banks. Like banks, when they've been playing around with crypto, have created Ethereum networks within themselves or even interbank that they're using that they use private keys that only the banks can see. It's not public, but they're still using Ethereum. So that means that any of these really cool vehicles are getting created, these different contract swaps, all these, the UMA project, those could all just get deployed on a private network. They could go and get deployed on Binance's network. So this is not news in the sense that like no one should go and put a bunch of money on this network, but it is interesting that Binance is doing doing some work in the space and sees and it is really cool how easy it is to kind of fork these things and create more value overall.
Yeah. All right. Next, something that keeps coming up is the high Ethereum fees and Ethereum 2.0. So talk to us, Pat, about what those are and will ETH 2.0 help lower those fees.
Yeah. So fees are insane right now. I mean, fees are the highest that anyone has ever seen. Ethereum fees. This is reminiscent of December 2017 when Bitcoin fees went through the roof and it was costing $50 to send, you know, to send $1 of Bitcoin. Now, this is actually in many ways worse. Like the fees here are a lot worse than what Bitcoin was. And there's a secondary side here, which is that the fees in Ethereum are based on how complex the operation you're doing is. And so a lot of the DeFi work that's out there. So if you wanted to go to Uniswap right now and make a trade, it probably would cost you $50. If you want to go and deploy a contract, deploy a new liquidity pool on Balancer, it's probably going to cost you $200. I mean, that is literally how expensive it is to run operations right now on the Ethereum blockchain. There have been a lot of proposals on how to deal with this over time. Like if you were around in 2017 when the Bitcoin fee debacle, I guess, or the controversy kind of came up. This is in fact why Bitcoin Cash completely forked off of Bitcoin, is that what they did is that they wanted to create larger blocks that more transactions could go into so that the fees would go down because more transactions would be going into these blocks. The number, the size of the block, how many transactions go in the block is directly proportional to the fee. So if you want your trade to go in, you got to pay a higher fee to beat out everyone else who wants their fee, their transaction to go in. So Ethereum 2.0 is really exciting. The way Ethereum and all these blockchains work right now, for the most part, there's a few outliers. The way they work is they have a single chain. It's a blockchain, right? So you have a single chain of blocks. A block has a pointer to the block behind it. And when you create a new block, you have to have that pointer to the block behind it. And you have to have some cryptographic information there that proves that this was built on the block behind it. So you are limited by every time a block is created, only one block can get created for that period of time. Math problems are being done to create that. And every single time you have a single strand of these blocks. There's a single blockchain for this, and you can never add it anywhere else. What Ethereum 2.0 is trying to do is they're essentially creating shards. So what that's going to mean is they're actually, instead of having a single Ethereum blockchain, they're actually going to have hundreds or even thousands of Ethereum blockchains that are all running in parallel. And then there'll be mechanisms to essentially communicate across it. So when I go to deploy a smart contract, that smart contract will go to one particular shard. So then when you want to interact with it, you have to go and find that shard, and then you interact with it on that shard. So it's a way of essentially scaling out. And this is a really common scaling mechanism for any sort of distributed system, everything from Google on down to something as complicated as crypto. So that's the goal. They're working towards that over the next few months. You know, hopefully we will see, you know, within the next 6 months, we will see a dramatic decrease in Ethereum fees. And then if we were to see another DeFi crazy season like we're seeing right now, you would not see prices and fees spiking the way it is.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see what happens there. All right. CEX.io is delisting Bitcoin Gold. BTG is being delisted.
Yeah, this is the first shot. There are a few places that BTG is out there. Bitcoin Gold was a pretty not great fork of Bitcoin. Doesn't really have any value. I don't, you know, if you have your coins, go and sell them right now. Like if you had Bitcoin from before the fork, get your Bitcoin Gold tokens out, go and sell them. There's not a lot of legs behind this project.
All right. Good to know. Okay. Then again, like yesterday, we had asked on Twitter for you guys to send in some of your favorite DeFi projects and that we could talk about them on the show. Thank you, everyone, for your responses. If you still want to tweet at us, we're at the DeFi Daily, or you can email us at info@thedefidaily.com. And today we're going to talk about Parachute Token.
Yeah. So Parachute, symbol PAR, was a token. It's been around for a few years now. Their high level pitch is democratizing access to crypto. So what they really want to do is they wanted to find the absolute easiest way to basically get crypto for people to use. And so it's an on-chain token for Ethereum, but then they also combine a few other off-chain mechanisms for making token swapping a little bit easier that you can do directly over a few of their chat apps. They actually have a Telegram. Integration. They have a Slack integration where you can essentially send crypto directly from your wallet to someone else's wallet. There's obviously obviously centralization risks the way they've done it. That's, you know, and it, you know, because if they didn't, you would have to pay a ton of fees right now because of Ethereum. And there's some other pieces in there, but it's a cool project. I mean, anything, the goal for crypto is that it can't just be the same, you know, 10,000 or 100,000 people that are playing around with crypto. Like, we need to get this out to the next million, 10 million, 100 million people. So projects that are working on ways to further create access for crypto are really cool.
All right. Well, yeah, that's good to hear. But of course, this is opinions, not any sort of investment advice or anything like that. All right. I think that does it for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
Have a great one.